We are here with a very special guest in studio here at KNGN Radio. Would you introduce yourself to our listeners and kind of let them know who you are and why you're here?
Certainly. I'm Dr. Jim Lamb, and I'm the Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. And my doctorate is in ministry, so I'm also a pastor. I was a parish pastor for 14 years in north central Iowa, a little town of Garner, Iowa. Wonderful folks up in that part of the country. So I went to graduated from Mankato State University up in Minnesota. My undergraduate degrees are in biology and chemistry because I always wanted to be a physician, that kind of a doctor.
So a different doctor.
Yeah, a different kind of doctor. So the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps, and that's the story of my life. I've been planning my way a lot, but the Lord has directed my steps. So I was in the Air Force a while pursuing medicine there as well as a physician's assistant, but again, things changed there and ended up at the seminary in St. Louis in 78. So kind of a crooked path to get there. I had two pastors growing up, and they both of them had kind of encouraged me to go in the seminary, and I said, no, I'm going to be a physician. And finally, I just said, look, I'll consider medical missions just to get them off my back.
There you go, right? Yeah.
But those voices eventually came back. And
it's amazing how the will of God is done, even if we don't want it to be done.
Oh, yeah, in spite of us.
He just gets you right where you need to be, when you need to be there. And it's just always a fun little story to tell because, you know, it's always crooked and who knows where and jumps all over the place. It's
sure, cool. But the thing is, you know, he's... Like the proverb said, he's directing your steps all that time. And, you know, the experience I had, I was a medic in the Air Force, emergency room medic. So working with people and difficult situations. Mm-hmm. And when I was going to college, I worked at a hospital. I worked on a psychiatric ward and learned all kinds of things there about human behavior and human nature. And then my degrees, especially in biology with all of the stem cells and cloning and things mm-hmm. that are going on now that I have to deal with all the time. So you can look back and you can see that hand of God. But at the time, it was like, what are you doing?
Didn't really make any sense.
Yeah. So I like to tell folks it's God's sense of humor because I always wanted to be an MD, mm-hmm. a medical doctor, and now I'm a DM, a doctor of ministry. So it's just backwards from what I thought.
That's awesome. And of course, at the end of the table, we have Pastor David Kale, pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Imperial, Nebraska. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
You know, it's kind of interesting how you both sort of have some things alike here. We got military men, we got medical background stuff here. It's intimidating for me. I'm kind of sitting here like, ooh, you know, I don't know about this.
But definitely don't let it intimidate you.
No intimidation whatsoever.
No, because it's just stories about how God directs our lives, and you've got a story, I'm sure, about how God has directed your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So can you tell us, we'll just start off here, Lutherans for Life. What is Lutherans for Life?
Lutherans for Life is a ministry that seeks to equip Lutherans. We are focused on the Lutheran community. Somebody said, why aren't you Christians for life? And mm-hmm. I said, it's because there are plenty of Lutherans that don't get this stuff yet. And mm-hmm. when we get all the Lutherans, they'll come after the rest of you.
But, once the Lutherans are all done, then we'll change the name to Christians and keep going.
That's right. So our focus is on Lutherans. And our mission statement kind of says it, I think, best. We exist to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. Mm-hmm. So we're a life-affirming ministry. We seek to affirm life from the moment of conception until natural death, but to do so based on the Word of God and centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that sets us apart from like the right to life kind of mm-hmm. groups that are out there. Not that we're in opposition at all. They're needed, and we work with them when we're able to, and there are wonderful people involved in these. But their purpose is to change laws and to change public policy, and that's important. It needs to be done. Our focus is to change hearts first and foremost, mm-hmm. and the only thing that's going to change the heart is the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so everything that we produce in order to equip Lutherans and Lutheran congregations is based on that Word of God.
How did you end up specifically in this place doing Lutherans for Life?
Oh, that's another God step, directing step story.
Yeah, but, how did that happen?
Well, here's the short version of it. I was in parish ministry for 14 years. I had been a spiritual advisor to a Lutherans for Life chapter, like Pastor Kale here is now, mm-hmm. But never had any ambitions to you know, I was happy. Yeah. I love parish ministry, and we had a great team ministry going. And I'd gone to a couple of national conferences of Lutherans for Life, and I had met the former president, Linda Bartlett, one time. She met me one time. And I got a call from her one day, and she said, you know, we'd just like to put your name on the list for – we're seeking a new executive director for Lutherans for Life. Would you consider that? And I said, no.
I'm just going to be honest with you.
And here I am.
No. We mentioned a little bit a while ago, God's will is done.
Yeah,
even
yeah,
if,
yeah.
Even if,
so I just – my associate pastor at the time, when I told him, I thought he'd laugh, and instead he just said, oh, that'd be you, all right. And then I told my wife, and her reaction was about the same. Well, I can see you doing that. And so I had to call her back, and I said, all right, God has kind of spoken a little bit here, so put my name on it. There were 35 on the list, so I figured –
surely,
God has plenty of time.
It's not
going to
be me.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, that's it's a pretty lax probability. Yeah. There are those 35 other guys. There are 34 other guys. They're better than
yeah.
I am. You know?
But I can tell you what, you know, in this ministry, we talk about people who cross the line between being like pro-life mm-hmm. and being passionate for it. Mm-hmm. And people ask, you know, so many people have stories. They maybe had an abortion, or their daughters had an abortion. You know, those kind of – I don't have that kind of personal story. What did it for me was one year I decided to read through the scriptures with life eyes. In other words, I'm just going to – what does the scripture say about life? And when I finished that, I realized that the scripture has so much to say about the value – not just the value of life, but the value that God gives to life. And that's why – life is so important. It's not because of what we do or able to do, but it's what he has done. And that mm-hmm. I was just kind of overwhelmed with that. And I remember praying at that time, I really need to do more in this life arena.
You know, and it's really important to even remember, you know, our God is the creator and sustainer of life. It is our God that is responsible for giving and taking life.
Yes.
And we live in a culture that is increasingly becoming more and more a culture of, I've heard it said, murder, a culture of murder. There's so many people vying for so few things that let's just get rid of as many as possible so that we can all have more. And so that, in sort of a rational, irrational sense, seems to justify to people that, hey, you know what? This person's just hanging out here. They're not useful to society. Let's kill them. Or this person is unwanted. I didn't expect this, nor did I plan this. My will be done. Let's just kill them. And that's ultimately when it comes down to, as we talk about these life issues that people don't necessarily understand, is kids are encouraged and sort of brainwashed for this stuff from their very youngest age throughout school. And then we come to them with this, no, life is sacred. Life is very, very sacred. And it's almost like, whoa, wait, what? What? It's become to that point in our modern culture. And so, you know, having the information is really, really good.
Well, I think it is important. Again, we're focused on the Lutheran community, so not mm-hmm. so much on the secular world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're kind of like Paul in Acts 17 in Thessalonica. He goes into the synagogue. His fellow Jews, even though he was the apostle to the Gentiles, he wanted his Jews desperately to believe. Mm-hmm. And so he'd always go to a synagogue if he could. And there we, you know, how did he do that? What was his approach? Well, he reasoned with them from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ because they knew the scriptures. So you can just see Paul, you know, here's a prophecy. Guess, you know, here's what Jesus did and mm-hmm. back and forth. So most of our efforts are based on reasoning with Lutherans from the scriptures about the value of life.
So what are some of the main misconceptions on, you know, among Lutherans about the value of life? What are some of the big issues that Lutherans for Life really tackles?
Well, huge issue is kind of the focus of this year's Life Sunday materials. Every year, Lutherans for Life produces materials to aid Lutheran congregations to observe Sanctity of Life Sunday, either in January, whenever they want to do that, sermons and Bible studies and inserts and all that. And this year's our theme is Matters of the Heart, and we're trying to distinguish between seeing these issues as political and social issues and seeing them as matters of the heart. Mm-hmm. And that's a main problem that we deal with. There's so many Lutherans sitting in pews out there who say, almost angrily sometimes, look, these are political issues. We shouldn't be talking about them in church. And they are I refer to them as spiritual issues that have been politicized in our culture. And so the effort in, like, the sermon that I preached today is to focus on the fact that, look, you're dealing with a college student who's single and pregnant and doesn't know what to do, and she's all alone and she's frightened.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a political issue. That's a matter of the heart. And she chooses abortion, and a child is murdered, and that's not a political issue. And she feels horrible about that later on. The guilt is overwhelming, and she doesn't think she can be forgiven. That's a spiritual issue. That's a matter of the heart. Or people dealing with chronic illness or terminal illness or all these end of life. These are matters of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And to relegate them off into the corner of political issues, it's easy to do, and that's nice because then we don't have to do with all that stuff. We can just get on with our, you know, church socials and potlucks and so forth when there's matters of the heart to deal with.
So so whenever we talk about the matters of the heart, most of these things happen because it's sort of the easiest route because whenever you talk about, you put that example of a college girl that's pregnant and alone and worried and scared, and maybe her parents have abandoned her, the father has abandoned her, she's just completely left alone, isolated. That is a hard situation whenever you place the responsibility now upon the shoulders of the church. And the church, sometimes we just want an easy way out, and to say, well, let's just sort of bureaucratize, you know, make a bureau of some sort that is, you know, set up and pre-funded that they get to deal with it. And that way I know, hey, why don't you just go to them? That way I don't have to get up off the couch from my football game or whatever and actually do something for you. When in reality it was an issue for the church in the first place. And I think that, you know, that you actually stating that actually, I mean, it just gets my mind really going, because I think we do that in a lot of different things. You know, we're talking specifically life issues, you know, so say shut-ins or, you know, someone who is coming to the end of their life, or elderly people, you know, we just want to kind of pawn them off on somebody else and not have to deal with that.
Yeah, that's really true. Now, of course, you asked the question about, you know, what some of the things we deal with, and that's kind of the negative side of it. But the positive side are pastors and congregations like Pastor Gale here and Zion up in Imperial, where I was at today, because here are folks there who are involved and people who understand that these are matters of the heart, and there's Lutherans for Life chapter. They're members of that congregation and are part of that. And so they're out there. They are doing things and recognize that these are issues that the church not only should be dealing with, but we're compelled to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is the main focus of the sermon, at least I hope it was. I can't wait till your confirmands get back with all the sermon notes.
That they took this morning. That's right.
Great way to evaluate a sermon is to look at what the eighth graders write down.
Yeah, they were busy writing too. Yeah, so that's good.
We'll see what they come up with. But the whole main focus of is to establish that these are matters of the heart. All right. Guess what we have? We have something that can deal with the matters of the heart. It's called the gospel. And I said it this morning, I'll say it again here over these airwaves, because this is my favorite thing to say. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the most powerful and positive, life-affirming message in the universe. The gospel's tailor-made for this stuff, you know? Life, death, pain, suffering, grief, regret, guilt, all those things that are involved in these life issues, the gospel's tailor-made for that. And we have it. And we have it. And so we're compelled to proclaim it and to share it as a positive message. You know, a lot of times I'll find pastors say, I'm pro-life, boy, and they start with the fifth commandment, you shall not murder. Well, abortion is murder, don't get me wrong, absolutely is. But to start there, I don't think is the place to start. I think we need to start with what God has done that gives value. You kind of went through it before. We're created by his hands. We're redeemed by his hands stretched out on a cross. And he wants to call us all into this wonderful relationship and hold us by the hand. And So we're his handiwork, however you look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants that, and that's what gives life value. And that's where we need to start. That's what makes abortion more than a moral problem or a social thing, because we're not just destroying a human being. That's bad enough, but we're destroying a human being God created, mm-hmm. for whom Jesus died, someone he wants to call. And so our catechism, the question and answer part, you know, that we revised a while back, the only place you see the word abortion is under the fifth commandment. And right now, they sent out a big survey. They're kind of want to rewrite stuff. So I've got my 2 cents worth in. Let's talk about this
in a
second article under the conception of our Lord,
right.
Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Let's start there about the value of life.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, among Lutherans, the most significant places that you do talk about the life issues is going to be beginning of life, end of life. Is that correct, sort of the abortion as well as, neglecting elders, encouraging these horrible ideas of euthanasia, and all kinds of stuff like that. Is that typically what is dealt with significantly?
Well, yes. I mean, you have the beginning of life issues, which used to be just abortion,
mm-hmm.
but now beginning of life deals with embryonic stem cell research and cloning and the whole recent in Great Britain, the whole three parent child mm-hmm. thing that's coming. And so we get these really seemingly complex issues at the beginning of life. I say seemingly because all you need to understand is a little bit of the biology and realize that, once you've got a human embryo there, all right, now our theology kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Created, redeemed, and someone he wants to call. So, and then, of course, a lot of stuff on the other end of life, assisted suicide. It's legal in 5 states now in our country. And with the whole Brittany Maynard mm-hmm. The gal that wanted to, that moved to Oregon so she could avail herself of physician-assisted suicide, and the YouTube thing that went viral, that's created a mood in our country, and Compassion and Choices, which is the pro-death movement in our country, they're taking advantage of this already, and they've got mm-hmm. states targeted that they're going to try to get legislation passed in other states. So we need to be on our toes. We need to know what's going on, and we need to be dealing with that end of life spectrum as well.
And so for us as Lutherans, we need to be equipped with the information to be able to handle these conversations as they come up. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that is where sort of Lutherans for Life can provide us with a viable information source so that we can learn and understand, whether it starts at matters of the heart, whether it starts at understanding that abortion's not a state thing. It's a heart thing.
Yeah.
Understanding that assisted suicide is not a state mandated or regulated thing. It is a matter of the heart. And whether it's actually changing the heart to all the way, to going all the way down to, let's say somebody comes to me, and is considering abortion, or I know somebody who is considering, physician assisted suicide. How do you even have a conversation, a productive conversation with someone who is, it may be one of our fellow Lutherans that is considering something? Because when you get into these situations, it can seem so dark and forced, whether you have parents forcing it, whether you have a father or a mother forcing it, there are all kinds of variables that come into this. To be as equipped as possible to be able to handle the conversation in a gospel-oriented manner.
Yes, and that you used a good word there. It's a great bridge for me because equipped, that's what we do. We're equippers. I shock pastors sometimes when I say, dealing with the life issues is not the responsibility of Lutherans for Life. It isn't. It's the responsibility of the church,
mm-hmm.
because the church has been given the gospel, and that's what it takes to deal with these. But they need the equipment and the connection to the Word of God, and that's what we provide. Now, I also want to talk about the kind of shift to the positive aspect here, mm-hmm. too, because we've been talking about, we're against abortion, assist mm-hmm. suicide, because mm-hmm. we're for life. And Lutheran's Life is very proactive as well. And so we have curricula for the smallest kids, preschoolers. And we have curricula for Lutheran day schools. And we have an online course for young people to take. And we have materials on purity and chastity to help our young people, again, from a gospel-motivated perspective, understand that they can make good choices.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I talk to young people, I first apologize for the way we treat them as adults. You know, they're just raging hormones with zits, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's how we treat them. We treat them as if they can't make good, God-pleasing decisions. But people who have the Spirit of Christ in them can make good, God-pleasing mm-hmm. decisions. And I think we need to help them see that and to approach it from that way. Are they going to make mistakes? Well, sure, they are.
But then, adults make mistakes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. You know? But then the gospel comes in. So instead of shaking our finger at young people and say, don't do these things because they're bad, so we have a more powerful message, I think, and that message is you don't have to do these things because God is good, and he has shown his goodness in his son Jesus on the cross, and he loves you. And so we got to teach about, you know, the sexually transmitted diseases and all those things. We got to do that. But again, where we need to start is with what God has done. I have this thing I do for young people, a little PowerPoint thing, and it's called Chastity is the Choice of Champions. And I spend the first half hour of that talking about why they're champions. They're created, redeemed, and called. They're champions.
Mm-hmm.
And champions can make good decisions. All right, now let's talk about some of the temptations you face and all of that. But I think we need to start with not what they should do, but whose they are.
I really like the positive approach. You know, to me, it can quickly become a don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't. We know you're going to do it. We know you're going to screw up. We know that you aren't even listening right now. This, you know, mm-hmm. it's very important to have, you know, I mean, for us as Lutherans, have a balance of law and gospel. You know, there's the don't have premarital sex. Don't be sleeping around. Don't be doing this kind of stuff. But then where is the gospel in that? The gospel is, well, you are baptized. You are a new creation in Christ. You can be enabled. You are given faith. You're given strength to be able to make the right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you're out of control of that, you know. And I think that's really, really important, you know, especially for older people, but also even for people in my generation to look out and see, you know, there is a positive and a negative aspect to this, and not to focus just on one side or the other.
Yeah.
Because you have to have a pretty well-rounded conversation whenever you talk about these hard issues, which usually get very passionate. I mean, people are – pretty much everybody that I personally know is very passionate about life issues either one way or the other. I've never really found anybody in the middle kind of like, well, you know, whatever. You know, I guess I'm not really for abortion. I'm not really against it. I don't really find people like that. They're either very adamantly – pro-choice, or they're very adamantly pro-abortion or pro-life.
Right.
You know, and so it's that polarization to be able to have these conversations in a positive light, and you know, the pointing out that positive aspect of it, the encouragement, the support, the nourishing nature of the gospel that actually enables the people of God, you know, the three uses of the law as a guide, as more of a guide. To be able to sort of show us the way, to keep us from, or the curb, sorry, to jumping that curb. That way we can sort of stay on the straight and narrow. So,
yeah.
In a more nuts and bolts sort of setup, how is Lutherans for Life set up? Like you talk about Lutherans for Life congregations and meetings and all this kind of stuff. How does that work?
Well, we have a structure much like National Right to Life is structured. They have state affiliates and then chapters within the states. And we have the same thing. We have states that are affiliated with us. Then within those states, we have chapters, like the Southwest Nebraska Chapter of Lutherans for Life. Did I get all that right?
That's right.
It's hard to say these chapter names sometimes. So they're a chapter. And then we have the thing we've been kind of working on in recent years, is the concept of life teams,
mm-hmm.
where a chapter is often made up of people from a variety of congregations, and so they're kind of out here doing these things, where a life team is part of the congregational structure, like you have a missions team or a finance team.
Gotcha.
So you have a life team. And so the purpose of life teams is to help making dealing with these life issues, these matters of the heart, part of the ongoing ministry of the congregation, where the chapter thing, in a lot of places, I don't see it so much here, but I do in other places, where it's almost become like a them and us thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life issues, Lutheran's life chapter, you deal with those. We here in the church will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, as if never the two should meet.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Which again makes it easier. You know, if it's like, well, you those Lutherans for life people, you people can just deal with this kind of stuff. I'll just we don't have to talk about that, but I mean, Christ and Him crucified is a life issue.
Yes.
I mean, because in Christ we are made alive.
It's a church issue.
As
Dr. Lamb said before, but we tend to see it as, you know, this organization over there, this organization over there, you know. And I think, and some of the things that we do in Lutherans for Life is kind of interesting because, you know, until you sit down, like with the kids this morning with those models, you know, I mean, you show them the baby models and stuff like that. You know, they see, okay, you guys talk about life. Well, what is it? Well, this is what the baby looks like. And then we happen to be very blessed at our congregation right now because this morning as we went around with the models, we had several pregnant women in the room.
Oh.
So they all held the model next to them that was at range. And you can see that connect with people like, holy smokes, this is what we're talking about. This isn't far off. This is like right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it's right here. And that's why I think I like the concept of the life teams because, you know, we have a hard time getting people to go to chapter things, but your life team is the people right there impacting in Lutherans for Life, you know, and really talking to their neighbor who's sitting right next to them. I think it's a really good concept to bring it local.
And I think as time goes on and these life issues become more and more essential and sort of debated about, having those life teams is going to be a really, really important part of keeping everything on the straight and narrow and not differentiating between, hey, this is the church and this is the life issues people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is where law and gospel is preached and this is where they tell you not to get an abortion. When it's like separating salvation from the Savior. You can't differentiate those two things.
Right, or it is, baptism from Jesus or Lord's Supper from Jesus.
You just can't do that. Yeah. I mean, the sanctity of life is so tied up in the gospel that you can't begin to unravel them from each other and sort of categorize that. And so I really like that. It's a really neat concept to have a life team that is there to help, to keep the awareness, to keep the conversation going, so that when these things do come up, because they're going to come up. I mean, it's just a matter of time.
They're already there.
Yeah, they're there, whether they're being talked about or not, they're there. And we're kind of, we as Lutherans, I mean, we're in divine worship, you know, 1-2 hours a week, and then we go back out into the world, and we watch TV, and we listen to radio, and we're inundated with all these other kind of counterproductive mentalities, and so it's really good to have a constant sort of reminder and reaffirmation of this is the gospel. This pro-life stance is the gospel. They're one and the same.
Yeah.
So if any one of our listeners is interested in Lutherans for Life, how do they go about sort of getting connected with Lutherans for Life?
Well, the website, I guess, is the normal answer to
the best way to get
that question.
Over there.
Yeah. We're just lutheransforlife.org. It's all spelled out, lutheransforlife.org.
And I actually have it pulled up right here. And it's you got all kinds of resources here. You've got your about, and that kind of gives you a lot of your information about your chapters, life teams, who is Lutherans for Life. You've got different membership and basics and state federations, international information. You've got life issues and some different blogs, news. You have life quotes, as well as some media and conferences and all kinds of resources just right there at your fingertips.
Yes, a lot of things you can download. A lot of our materials are in PDF files. You can download from there DVDs that address, you know, abortion, assisted suicide, and euthanasia, and end of life. You know, the chastity thing we talked about, post-abortion, which is one thing that hasn't come up yet in this discussion. Post-abortion is huge among God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Women who have abortions, and now that guilt is so strong, you know, I just know scores of women who've had abortions, and they're all Lutherans.
Mm-hmm.
They're all Lutherans. Some are pastors' wives. And this secret is very deep, and they don't want it to get out, and mm-hmm. it's just a very, very difficult thing. And the more they put it down, it comes out, but it comes out in ways, you know, drug abuse or alcohol abuse or violence and mm-hmm. anger. And so we've got this powerful message that's of a forgiveness that's objective. And I stressed that a bit this morning too, you know, because a lot of these post-abortive women say, I know Jesus forgives me, but I can't forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
Or I know Jesus forgives me, but I don't feel forgiven for this sin. And our answer to that is, that's okay. It's okay mm-hmm. because you are.
Mm-hmm.
It happened.
It's just the feeling and the fact are two different things.
Yeah.
And going through something so painful, you can't expect someone to just bounce right back out of that. I mean, there is a very real human aspect to this. It's like watching someone or holding someone while they die in your hands. There is a grieving. There is a pain that has to go along with that. But the forgiveness, like you said, is objective. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter what you have done. Forgiveness in Christ Jesus is assured, you know, and whether you feel it or not.
I mean,
and if there's anybody who's listening who is going through these post-abortion times, and most people just look right over that, you've had your abortion, okay, well, we're not talking to you anymore. We're talking to the people who are thinking about having an abortion, not those who have already had an abortion.
Yeah.
And I think it's really essential for the church to understand the emotional scarring and there is physical damage done by the procedure, but there is significant emotional trauma from that as well.
When I talk to pastors, either in pastors' conferences or seminarians or seminaries, I always tell them if there's one reason to use the A word, mm-hmm. abortion, in the pulpit, it's so that if there's someone out there who's had one, they will not just hear the gospel, but they will hear the gospel directed toward sin.
Yeah.
Because I can't tell you the number of women I've talked to, and men, let's not forget men, because they suffer with post-abortion struggles as well for a variety of reasons, that they've heard the gospel, but they've never heard it applied to them. And that just reinforces the fact that this one, I guess, is too big. This one is too big. Mm-hmm. I really can get pastors' attention when I say we're actually helping Satan with his favorite line, did God really say?
Because mm-hmm.
that's what our silence says. Did God really say abortion is wrong? You never hear anything about it in church, do you? Did God really say you can be forgiven for that sin? You don't hear anything about it in church, do you? Mm-hmm. See, we're reinforcing that line. And so if there's a single reason, there are many, but it's so that woman will hear the gospel applied to the sin of abortion, that is a forgivable sin.
I mean, and even us as lay people, as we go about our lives, we encounter many people, and it becomes more and more and more as culture continues to go the way that it does, women and men who deal with these issues. And for us, it's also very important because that we may be their friend or really good friend or the only person that really knows about it. You know, they may be going to church and have this sort of in their past and not have told anybody except you. Well, how then do you deal with that? How then do you talk to them about it? How do you tiptoe around it? I think all of these things are very, very important to be aware of and to actually be searching for information about it. And Lutherans for Life provides a wonderful place for that.
Actually, we have a very specific place for post-abortion, and that's our Word of Hope National Hotline.
Okay.
It's the only Lutheran post-abortion hotline in the country. And so that... we get about 300 calls every month on this hotline. And they're mostly Lutherans because we just kind of advertise in Lutheran Lutheran churches. And so that number is available on our website.
It's actually 1-888-217-8679. 1-888-217-8679. And it's toll-free. And there are people there who will work with you, speak with you about this. Because the thing is the post-abortion can cause a lot of things like depression and anxiety and feeling like your life is worthless because you took somebody else's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is very, very, very essential.
And we have a little brochure that advertises this, and those should be in churches.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do with them in our church and what I suggest other congregations do is you don't put them out on the table in the back in the narthex or in the little track rack and say there's a brochure out there about post-abortion hotline. If you want one of those, pick it up. Nobody, you know, a post-abortive woman is not going to pick that up. So we made little holders and put them in the bathroom stalls in both the men and women's room. So that becomes a very safe place. You can take one out of there, put it in your purse or in your coat. So that's what we recommend. And these brochures are free, and churches should have them so that those who are hurting will have a place to call. Or in your scenario, when you know someone talks to you about abortion in their past, and what do? Hand them one of these professional people on the other end of the line.
And I'm just going to direct this to you, Pastor Cale. How would any of our Lutheran listeners get involved with the Southwest Nebraska chapter?
Yeah, down in this area, we have a chapter that we've been trying to do things across the circuit, across the area, because we know it's hard for people to get to meetings. But they can, you know, look us up on the website is one way they can get a hold of us, or just call. Literally any of the pastors in this area are all aware of it. So
and KNGN, you can call this number, you can call your number, you can call all the pastors, any one of them. Just basically open the phone book, kind of take a stab, and just grab one of them.
I mean, of course, they're welcome to call us. You know, we have a president and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But if they really want to know exactly who to contact or how to get there, every pastor in this area is up on the Lutherans for Life organization. Of course, they're also up on the life issues. You know, they can contact any one of them at any time. Anytime.
And what about the life teams? Would that be the sort of the same? If you would say you're in a congregation, you're part of the chapter, you've been thinking about being part of the chapter, you're really interested in starting a life team. Is that sort of the same? Just kind of talk with your pastor.
Yeah, you'd have to start it there locally, is the way it sounds. But I'm gonna be honest with you though, we've done the chapter stuff, but we have not done the life team stuff yet. So that might be something that we're looking at in the future. So if you're listening to this and you're in your church, you know, and it's something you'd like to do, absolutely contact us at the chapter, again through your pastor, or you can contact me directly. It doesn't matter. We will help you get those things going, because we're definitely trying to get more people knowledgeable.
And if you want to find out, you know, what's a life team, what's it do, website. You can notice maybe in one of the banners going across there, if you're looking at that yet, three circles. You know, what is a life team? What does a life team do? How can I start a life team?
Yep.
These are little short 4-minute little videos. You can watch them, and it really help flesh out what a life team is and what it's about. So it's a good place to start, is right there. And then we provide training. This is not just like starting a finance committee or something.
You actually provide some sort of training material.
You know, you just get Ralph, who's the treasurer of, you know, the local co-op.
Hey, have you ever balanced a checkbook before?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, well, you're the treasurer. You're the treasurer, right?
Are you alive? Yes, you're the life team coordinator. That's right. Yeah,
but we actually have training for, first of all, a life team leader. Mm-hmm. So you can train how to be a life team leader. And then part of that training is how to select life team members. And then we have training for life team members. And I'm not going to kid anybody. It's like 4 hours worth of training.
That's good.
And you take a test, and you send it in, and you get certified.
Oh.
So these are certified people who are on your team. And by the time they're done with this, they really understand the idea of what they're supposed to be doing. And it's not so much, here's what a life team does, but here's how a life team behaves.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in terms of what a life team does, there's a whole section in that training of a whole phase in the development of a life team where you get together and you look at your congregation, your community, the members of your life team, and then from there you decide what your life team is going to be doing. So there's no cookie cutter kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got a life team and one of those members is post-abortive, and she knows two other people in the congregation who are post-abortive, maybe this life team should focus on post-abortion, that kind of thing. You
know. Well, I believe that wraps us up for our time here. It's been a wonderful pleasure to have you with us, Dr. Lamb. We pray that everything goes well for you in your travels. You have another presentation to do yet this evening, so it'll be a wonderful experience there. We hope people show up for that. And again, if you would like, for our listeners, if you would like more information about Lutherans for Life, just simply go to www.lutheransforlife.org, lutheransforlife.org. You can find everything you need. If you have questions and you're not too internet savvy, you can just give us a call here at the station, or you could talk to your pastor. They can make sure and get you what you need when you need it to pass you on to the right people. that can get you involved with that kind of information. So again, thank you so much for doing this for us.
You're welcome. I appreciate the airtime very much.
Absolutely. And of course, Pastor Cale, thank you so much for coming down.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
All right. And at that, we're going to head back to programming already in progress.